are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. And thanks for making Locked On Brewers your first listen every day. We post episodes daily, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and we are free and available on all platforms. I'm your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Check out my bio there to see everywhere I am covering the game of baseball. Also joining me is my co-host, Vinny Rutino. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Rutino. Also, make sure you subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast at Locked On Brewers, and we will be here for you all offseason. Saw some people getting a little upset, maybe even teary-eyed about the fact that maybe Locked On Brewers wouldn't be here with the season over, but that is not the case. We will still continue to be here for you throughout all the offseason, covering everything about your Milwaukee Brewers. Before we do get into the offseason, I know I was going to start I said I was going to do a season preview and get into the offseason, but I wanted to do one more final look back at the postseason, go through the best and worst from the NLDS. We'll do that on this episode today. So after this, we will look back at the season overall, but hopefully that'll be a more happier picture. And then we'll start to look forward to the postseason, some big decisions coming up on some key players. Well, let's start with the best of the postseason. And Vinny, I'm just going to run through the list of what I wrote down here. And I was surprised to see that I actually had more best and worst on my list. But I'm going to run through the ones that I wrote down. Feel free to comment on any of them or give me some other best that you have. But I put Rowdy Tellez up there at the top. I know he only had two hits in the series, but both of them were big and accounted for four of the six Brewers runs scored in this series. He also made some nice plays at first defensively. We talked about that a lot leading up to the postseason, how big it was to have him back, not just for his bat, but for his defense as well. And I thought he made some really big plays there, especially in the first game. I mean, this series could have ended in a sweep if not for Rowdy Tellez in game one. And the Brewers have three more years of control with him as well. So that's certainly great. I follow that up with Willy Adames. I know he didn't have the best at-bats in that last game there, but he led the team with five hits this series, was 5 for 17, had a double, made some unbelievable catches, the one he had in foul territory. He also had one that he caught out in left field, basically. And so it was a good series for Adames, I thought. He has three more years of control as well. So I wanted to mention those two guys at the top. I also had Omar Narvaez. I talked about it. I thought it was a bad decision in game four to take him out. I thought he was having some of your best at bats. He was 3 for 8 in the series, had a double and an RBI. I thought Eduardo Escobar had some good at bats. I know he got taken out of the lineup because he was hitting pretty cold, but he came off the bench and had a couple of hits. Ended up going 3 for 10 in the series with a double. He will be a free agent after the season, so that's his last go-round with the Brewers. And then on the pitching side, Corbin Burnes, obviously 6 innings, 2 hits, 3 walks, no earned, 6 strikeouts in game one of that series. Sad we didn't get to see him pitch again, but I still, even after the loss, I agree with the decision. This one's going to hurt a lot of Brewers fans, but Freddy Peralta was really good. 4 innings, 3 hits, 1 walk, no earned, 5 strikeouts, probably another big key in that series, him getting taken out there. Hunter Strickland and Brad Boxberger, the two guys I was probably worried about the most in the bullpen coming in, both were really good. Strickland, 2 1/3 scoreless innings, 3 hits, no walks, 2 strikeouts. Boxberger, 2 innings, no hits, 1 walk, no earned, 2 strikeouts. So they were actually really good. And then Brandon Woodruff, you know, again, I thought he should have gone back out for the 8th in game 4, as I'm still second guessing even after a couple days now. But overall in the series, 7 1/3, 6 hits, 1 walk, 3 earned, 8 strikeouts. So as you would expect, Woodruff good as well. The big three good there. But Vinny, those were some of my best for the Brewers in the postseason. Any comments on those? Any others that stood out to you?
I mean, you pretty much covered it. I would say Eric Lauer's got to be in there as well. I mean, I know that he gave up his line. Looks like he gave up a couple of runs, but I think that's, you know, he shouldn't have been taken out. I'm kind of sticking to that in terms of my Monday. I don't do a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking, but like that one for sure, for me, I would definitely continue to go with Eric Lauer. Took me a long time to kind of come around on Eric Lauer, but this guy has been one of the best pitchers in the game of baseball since, I go all the way back to the start against the Detroit Tigers at Miller Park, where he gave up 7 runs. Ever since then, he's been totally lights out. He's 3rd in the league in ERA or something crazy like that. So, I mean, this guy's been really, really good. I would have stuck with him for more than 3 1/3. I thought he was a bright spot for that game 4. But obviously, it looks like he gave up the 2 runs. But other than that, I think I do think you covered it. I mean, I think you would go with Luis Urias's ability to also like play, make some really, really nice plays at third base. I also point to the fact that he should have made that slow roller that kind of got that inning going in the 5th, where Aaron Ashby gave up a couple of runs. But I would add those two to that list as well.
Yeah, and just your thoughts on Tellez and Adames. You know, they're under control. Do you see them being the first baseman and shortstop for the Brewers for the foreseeable future?
I do. In fact, I really, really like Rowdy Tellez as a scout. I think I was on the fence with him. I'll point to the fact that it was one of my first years scouting, and hindsight is 20/20. Would have given him a little bit of a better chance. I think I put an everyday grade on him, but I think he's a plus everyday first baseman going forward. I was talking to a scout friend of mine. I think they kind of comped him to Adrian Gonzalez a little bit, just the swing and the way that swing looks. And it's kind of a shorter swing. It's a hitter before power type of an idea as well. Thought that was a good comp. It's to be determined whether or not he's going to put up those kinds of numbers, but I think the guy has the tools, man. I mean, he's really, really good with the quality at bat. He's really good around the bag, defensively as well. So adds a ton of value for the team going forward with a lot of years of control. Willy Adames, I can see similar production from him going forward. I do think that the swing tweak and getting him a little bit more direct to the baseball has helped him, and that should continue, and the defense isn't going anywhere, and the leadership isn't going anywhere either. So I think that I don't know if he's going to be the face of the franchise going forward. He's going to be one of the key faces of the franchise, let's say that.
Yeah, and obviously we're going to get into the offseason more as we go on here, but that's huge, because with this team coming into the year, the corner infield spot was the big weakness of this team. And now you're looking at an infield where you got Tellez, pretty much locked in as your first baseman. You got Colton Wong at second, Willy Adames at short, and Luis Urias at third. So, I mean, going into this offseason, you're looking pretty solid around the infield, which, you couldn't say a year ago, and really couldn't even say, a month or two into this past season. So I think that's certainly huge for this Brewers team going into the offseason, having those infield positions locked up there. All right, we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and look at some of the worst from the postseason. This episode is brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com. There are so many different makes and models of automobiles these days. It's impossible to stock all the parts your car will ever need in your traditional chain store. Why worry with the hassle of answering a bunch of questions about your car at a chain store and just hoping that they have the parts you need when you have the inventory of rockauto.com right there in your pocket? You can pull them up on your cell phone and find any make and model of any kind of auto part that you need. And there are so many different reasons to maintain your automobile these days, but the biggest one is obviously to save money. So why would you choose to spend 30, 50, sometimes even 100% more for the exact same auto part at a chain store or new car dealership? They have everything you can need, from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. So go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your vehicle. And while you're there, do us a favor and write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box, so they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. All right, Vinny, so let's get into the worst of the postseason, probably the things that are going to stick out the most to fans whenever you do lose a series. And the guy at the top for me, and I really hate this because I thought he was so instrumental for this team all year, and I believe he was, and I think it's why the offense suffered so much in the postseason, because he wasn't, but that's Colton Wong. And he just had an abysmal series, was 1-for-15 at the plate, struck out 5 times, and then you had that bunt in the 9th inning in game 4. Vinny, just a really, really tough series for Colton Wong.
Not swinging the bat well at all, right? I mean, defensively, he was there. It's one of those things. It's like, okay, you get the feel for how a guy is swinging it or how he feels at the dish, and then maybe make some adjustments to the lineup. And you know, easy to say that, tough to do that with such a short sample size for these guys. You always feel like it's, you know, it's one at bat away from getting back on track, but for Wong, it wasn't. So I'm with you there. You know, even I was panicking. Let's just be honest. I wanted them to win so bad. I was even considering, hey, maybe they should consider playing Jace Peterson over there at second base. You know, stuff that they're not going to do, but easy to second guess in hindsight, because yeah, Wong was not good. He was not that spark plug that they needed at the top of the order. You know, look, I was even a little bit upset at some of the, not upset, but just, again, just a testament to how he was not swinging the bat real well in that last game, game four, you know, just the easy ground out. I'm sorry, it was game three against Ian Anderson. I thought Ian Anderson has had trouble getting out of that first inning, and then Wong, second or third pitch of the game, he gets a weak ground ball to second base after, you know, getting ahead 1-0. On Ian Anderson, and just kind of let him off the hook in terms of, you know, putting some pressure on him in the first inning. He kind of hit a little jam job to second base. So I agree. Colt Wong was not at his best in the series. Kind of an anomaly, right? Because he was so consistent all year.
Yeah. Again, you know, not working counts, you know, just not doing things like we saw in the regular season. You know, I don't think that's a great pitcher of Colton Wong. I mean, when you get in these short series like this, you know, it's really, really hard to evaluate, you know, a player's overall performance because it's such a short sample size. But again, you know, you're hoping your best players are going to step up in the big moments, and Colton Wong just wasn't able to do that this time around. You talked about Avisail Garcia and, you know, his struggles, two for 15 at the plate, 8 strikeouts, did score a couple of runs. To me, just the body language, you kind of touched on it, did not look right for Avisail. I don't know if he was still battling that back injuries or not, but he just did not look good at all at the plate. And then it's Christian Yelich, 3 for 15, 8 strikeouts, ended the series striking out looking. Vinny, you know, certainly, you know, we've already talked about it, not what you're hoping for from your MVP. We kind of been waiting on it all year, but I want to, and I know you don't know the answer to this, I don't think anybody does, but a lot of people are rightfully worried about Yelich going forward as he starts this big contract extension coming up. You know, what type of Yelich we're going to get. I believe in the person. I believe he wants to be the best player in the game. I know he's going to work as hard as he can to be the best player in the game, but we just haven't seen that for 2 years now, you know, a season and a half. And that worries me. I think the back issues for him are bigger than he's letting on. I think that's really kind of zapping a lot of his power right now, but going to be a big offseason for Christian Yelich. And really, you know, next year is going to be a huge season for him and trying to determine what type of player he's going to be going forward, but definitely not a good series for him either, Vinny.
What can we say about this, right? I mean, it was hard to watch really almost all year long. We were all just kind of waiting for it to happen where he was just going to kind of, everything was going to click for him. I was really hopeful just because of what I saw in spring training. I know it's just spring training, but he looked better. He looked like the Christian Yelich of old, the ability to, you know, take really close pitches and hit really nasty pitches. That's what he's been always able to do, is hit really good pitches, well-executed pitches, pitches that set him up. He would get one pitch in at bat and he'd hit a home run. And that's what we're used to seeing from him, or a double, right? And then this year it was just obviously not that. I love talking baseball. I have a lot of opinions about baseball, a lot of opinions about the Brewers and players, and I like to voice them. I am at a loss for what to say at this point about Christian Yelich. I really am. I like to believe in my optimistic side, which you know that I have, likes to believe that he's going to find it again. I would, if I was a betting man and someone said you had to bet on this and say, is he going to find it again? I would say yes. I would, but I'm not 100% convicted in that, right? So I would bet and lean towards, yes, he'll find it again. and he'll find it next year. But it's just, I'm not 100% convicted in that at this point. That's the best way I can articulate how I feel right now about this whole situation.
Yeah, no, I think that's where a lot of fans are at the moment. I mean, like I said, I want to believe in him. I believe in Christian Yelich, the person, and I believe that he's going to do everything he can to get back to that MVP level. But yeah, I'm not as convinced that's going to happen at this point. And again, you look at the contract, he's going to start making $26 million a year starting next year all the way through the 2028 season. I mean, if he is not an all-star level player, that is a franchise crippling type of contract, especially for, you know, a mid-market team like the Brewers, you know, who don't always have the highest payroll. That's going to be a tough one to swallow. So certainly for the Brewers standpoint, even if he doesn't get back to the MVP levels, that Yelich has to become an all-star type player again. But I'm kind of with you too. I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum all year long. I don't know what else to say about it. I just believe and hope that he comes around and that, again, he can just get back to being an all-star caliber player. But that's certainly going to be the storyline throughout the offseason and into next year as well. On the pitching side of things, looking at the worst from the postseason, I mean, I'm really being nitpicky here, and some of these are not going to be fair, and Vinny's not going to agree with me on these, but I gotta put Josh Hader on here, and I know that's not fair at all, but you had the Brewers' best against the Braves' best, and Hader left a slider up to their best hitter, and that essentially ended the Brewers' series. Again, not fair to Josh Hader. You know, two innings, two hits, one walk, one earned, three strikeouts overall in the series, but certainly just in that moment, you know, it ended the Brewers season essentially. So had to put him on there, at least for a worst moment. I'm not going to say obviously Josh Hader is the worst, but you certainly expect him to come through there and didn't in that moment. I'll put Aaron Ashby on here again. Again, I know Vinny's not going to agree with this, but 2 2/3, 5 hits, 2 walks, 2 earned, 3 strikeouts. I think the moment got a little too big for the rookie, and, you know, gave up. Also had some tough luck, which I know Vinny has mentioned on here. And then same for Adrian Houser. I mean, I could have left off all three of these pitchers, but I had to put some pitchers on here. But 3 innings, 4 hits, 1 walk, 4 earned for Houser. It was really just Jock Peterson, 2 home runs. Outside of that, he was really good in the series. So, I mean, the pitching overall was really good for the Brewers, Vinny, but had to put some names on here.
I agree with the Ashby one. I agree with the fact that he did let the moment get too big for him. That's not even really fair to say the moment wasn't necessarily too big for him. He's a rookie, and the season's on the line. I think that play should have been made by Arias. I think it would have turned out differently if it was, because then it allowed him to just kind of, again, stay comfortable on the mound. That is so key. However, okay, all things being equal, you still got to make pitches. You still got to execute pitches. You left a lot of pitches up in that inning, in those couple of innings. And so I do agree that, you know, it was a little too big for him, considering that, you know, he wasn't able to kind of settle in and, you know, have that one out recorded that Luis Ruiz, in my opinion, should have been made. So that's kind of where I'm at with Ashby. Although I'm just such a big Ashby fan. I'm a little bit biased and towards saying anything kind of negative towards him, but I do think, yeah, you know, he wasn't at his most sharp in that game four.
Yeah. You know, I agree. And like you said, it's not fair. He's a rookie. I still don't believe he should have been out there in that situation in game four, but we'll move past that. We talked about that on the last podcast. But I will say, we talked about the Freddie Freeman effect in this series, and, you know, he struck out Freddie Freeman, I think, both times he faced him. I know he struck him out twice. I think he only faced him twice. And it's almost like he was so focused on that because that was his key matchup in the series, that, you know, you spent so much time and effort on that at bat, which you have to do with Freddie Freeman, that maybe that wears on you in the at bats following. I know we've touched on that on the podcast before. So maybe that had a little bit to do with it as well. But yeah, I mean, the pitching overall is certainly not to blame for this season. The pitching was really good for the most part, but the offense, certainly, you know, those guys at the top, Wong, Garcia, Yelich, you know, that's the reason the Brewers went home early. So we're going to take one more break, and then we're going to come back and look at some of the key moments from the NLDS. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. You got the baseball postseason in full swing, NFL and college football seasons are getting started. You got the NBA and NHL getting kicked off. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including the MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action at BetOnline. For the next pitch, head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in on the action. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Benny. So just quickly here, I wanted to go through some of the biggest moments from the NLDS. When we look back on the 2021 NLDS for the Brewers, what are some key moments that we're going to look to? Obviously, in game one for the Brewers, it's getting out of that first. It's really just Rowdy Tellez. It's Rowdy Tellez's play to get out of the first inning, and it's the two-run homer. That's the biggest moments for me in that game. Game two, it's that third inning, that two runs that Brett Random Woodruff allowed. I mean, the offense had some opportunities in that one, but I can't think of anything else really in game two that stands out to me. Vinny, can you think of big plays in that game?
Big plays in game two. They had runners a couple of times. They had runners on first and second with nobody out and couldn't really do anything. It's kind of the story of the series, really, obviously. Those are all big moments that kind of happened a lot. So I think we were just kind of numb to them at some point.
Yeah.
Where I was like, oh, they're not going to score here. Nothing really other than that stood out to me in that game.
Yeah, I think it was just, the seventh and or the eighth inning, really, you had two on. Nobody out, you're at home, you got an opportunity there and can't get it. But like you said, that seemed to happen so much in this series that you do kind of become numb to it. But even in the ninth inning. So yeah, that's what it was. In the eighth and ninth inning, they had a walk and a single to start both of those innings and weren't able to cash in.
The thing for me is that they didn't have any kind of threats or real threats anyway against Will Smith in the entire series. And this guy was not good. I mean, for me, in terms of stuff, I mean, that slider, I think I could still hit. It's like 84 mile an hour rolling slider. And they were, touting it on TV. It's terrible. I'm sorry, Jeff Francoeur. That's a terrible slider. Stop talking about how good it is. And the Brewers really couldn't do anything with it. He commanded the ball. I'll give him that. Kind of everything's coming out of the same window. It's 92 with an 84 mile an hour slider, right? So it's like not that good of stuff. And they didn't really they didn't mount much off him in terms of threats. And if they did, he got out of it real quickly. So that's the thing for me from that game.
Yeah, I'll say Will Smith also was pretty lucky in this series. I thought the Brewers hit some balls really hard off him, and he really got some good plays from his defense. You go back to game three, which I was going to get into next, and that ninth inning, Avisel, I mean, lines one. I don't have the exit velo here in front of me, but I think it had to be at least 105 miles per hour, and Austin Riley just snagged it out of the air. I mean, if that gets down, goes for a double, who knows how that inning plays out, but I thought Will Smith was also a little lucky in the series as well. But sticking with game three, obviously game three, the biggest moment came in the fifth inning. You had second and third, nobody out. You had the play from Dansby Swanson on the ball. Lorenzo Cain hit 101 miles per hour. Then you had the decision to pinch hit for Freddy Peralta. Vogelbach grounds out to third base. They cut down the runner at home. And then Colton Wong hits a ball 101 miles per hour right at Freddie Freeman. And then in the bottom of the fifth, Braves come up with a three-run homer from Jock Peterson, and that was game three. But that was certainly the biggest moment in game three for me, Vinny. Anything else that stick out to you?
Yeah, that was the backbreaker. Nothing for me on that one.
Yeah. Pretty obvious in game three there, just that fifth inning. And then we obviously broke down game four yesterday's podcast. There's really so much you could get into there. You know, I talked about the fact that I didn't love Aaron Ashby coming in after the Brewers took the lead there. I also thought Brandon Woodruff should have gone in the eighth inning with the pitcher spot coming up, but just purely second guessing there. I thought there was also, you know, opportunity in the fifth inning, or sorry, in the first inning, for the Brewers to jump out, you know, to an early lead. You had Colton Wong get hit by a pitch, Willie Adames single, you know, you had Charlie Morton on 3 days rest. You had an opportunity there to jump out to an early lead, but then Yelich strikes out, Abisel Garcia grounds out, and Tellez strikes out. I thought that was a big moment in the game there. You know, you push across a run or two there, get some momentum, you know, who knows, maybe they pull Charlie Morton even earlier in that game. So for me, those are some big moments in that one. Not scoring in the first, bringing in Aaron Ashby and leaving him in there maybe a little too long in that fifth inning, and then not letting Brandon Woodruff go another inning there, and taking out Omar Narvaez. I didn't necessarily agree with that, but that's not a huge issue in this one. But
what we've never brought up yet is Willie Adames. I believe it was Willie Adames punched out with the bases loaded and two outs against Jesse Chavez. 90-mile-an-hour cutter, front door cutter, strike three looking. It was 2-0 at that point. That was the first runs the Brewers have scored in the series besides the Rowdy Tellez home run. And they were rallying, and they had him on the ropes, and Jesse Chavez threw a nasty front door cutter. It was kind of an unhittable pitch. Literally he hits like a Dixie cup. You know, that was the target that he had to hit, and he hit it. It was a nasty pitch, tough pitch, but that was a huge momentum swing, in my opinion. I thought if they would have gotten, you know, some more runs across the board in that situation against Jesse Chavez, I think perhaps the Brewers would be playing tonight.
Yeah, no, you're right. That was a huge, you know, at bat there again. Had the Braves on the ropes in the fourth inning. You got the two in. Felt like you had some momentum. It's kind of like one of those innings we saw in the regular season where things started to roll for the offense. And, you know, Adames, you know, like I said, he led the team in hits in this series, but in that last game, you know, just didn't come up in some big spots there. Certainly not blaming him for this series, but that was a huge at bat. And that was I'm looking at the stat cast on it now. That pitch, that cutter that he threw to Adames was unfair, just where it was placed. That was a huge moment in that game as well. But I just think overall, you know, when I look back at this series, you know, as a Brewers fan, from a Brewers perspective, I think I'm going to think about Rowdy Tellez, because you always want to think about the game you won and how big that was in game one in front of the home crowd, you know, to get a win, to kick that series off with a win. That's probably what I look back from at this NLDS. And then, you know, on the negative side of things, just missed opportunities, not coming up with big hits and big moments, and the offense really just kind of floundering in the series. I think that's what most people look back and think of when they think of this 2021 NLDS for the Milwaukee Brewers. But that will wrap up our postseason coverage. Sorry to make you kind of have to relive some of that again, but I wanted to go through and point out, because I thought there was actually a lot of really positives from this series that I wanted to point out as well. But on Friday's podcast, we will do a complete season review of the Milwaukee Brewers. Again, hopefully that will be a little bit more positive, as the Brewers did run away with the NL Central. So we will cover all of that on Friday, and then starting next week, we'll keep base with the postseason, but we'll also start kind of previewing the offseason as well. But that will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. Follow me at Shortstop Ball and Vinny at Vinny Rotino. Also, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And we'll talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.